We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show starts now. This is ESPN Upstate. Hello, Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. Hello, world. It is great to be with you. I am Rob Brown, the great one. Lonzo is at the helm. Glad to have you along for the ride. So, earlier in the year, we talked as the F1 season came to its conclusion, and we saw Max Verstappen versus Lewis Hamilton in an absolute showdown. There was some controversy. I mean, it was a great sports outcome. You had one race to determine it all. Number one, number two, guy who finishes higher wins the championship. We had controversy in the race about whether or not the caution car should have pulled off and they're allowed to be one more lap of racing, or if it should have been called earlier. Lewis Hamilton said one thing, Max said the other. It was very, very, very interesting. And the only reason that a lot of people know about it is because Netflix has put up a docuseries on F1 racing, which if you have not watched it yet, it's very, very good. It's called Formula One Drive to Survive. And it's a really, really interesting look at Formula One because, you know, I've seen a lot of shows in the past that are kind of set up this way where they give you a lot of look at the behind the scenes stuff, but not much about the actual competition. And I've seen a lot of shows that give you a look at a lot of the competition, like here's game day or race day or match day at the arena, but not much as to what goes into the regular day-to-day life of everything else. F1 Drive to Survive does a really, really good job, I thought, of giving a behind-the-scenes look at what happens around the track, but also how intense race day is for these guys. And it's a genuinely good show. And in the last two seasons, teams gave access to Netflix to cover them. Mercedes and Ferrari and I think the Red Bull team not just gave permission for them to cover live, but I mean to get really deep into stuff, up to and including drivers getting fired and the competition to fill that seat, etc. Phenomenally interesting. And I've got friends of mine. In fact, my mentor in radio, my old coach, co-host, and guy who really kind of taught me this business, a guy named Adam back in Navarre, Florida, who was not a racing guy, watched F1 Drive to Survive with his kid, with his son. And now my dude's posting about F1 racing like he's into it big time, right? And I know that he's not the only one. I know he's not the only one. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter who have never been racing fans who watch this show, and now they're really interested. One of the things that gets people interested in a sport is exposure to the sport. I've told you before, I think it is the most important factor, right? Why do you think that the NFL does Hard Knocks? Why do you think that the NFL and the NBA and all these big organizations start their own television networks? They do it because the number one way to create a new fan is to give them exposure. That is not just the game, right? Like the NFL puts out, I don't know, 80 hours of game per week during the season. But it's not just about getting you to watch the game. It's about showing you more than just the game. F1 did it with Netflix. It was phenomenal. The NFL did it with Hard Knocks. I know some people that didn't just start liking football, but when they saw situations like they watch rookies getting fired, getting their pink slip, being asked to turn in their playbook, they get invested in the individual athletes, which makes them invested in the game as a whole. It's a brilliant plan. And in just about every place that it's worked, it's very clearly worked.
It pulls in people who love documentaries and that type of thing.
Yeah, if you want to like a sport at more than just the surface level, this is how it's done, right? If you want to like a sport at a deeper level than they played this weekend and here was the score, this type of exposure works. Here's a text right here. Texas says, ESPN, my roommate is super into it now. I'll wake up at 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning. He's already six beers deep frying bacon watching F1. Of course, I'm obligated to start drinking then as well. Yeah. It's on a weird schedule.
You're also obligated to eat the bacon if
Correct.
They allow you to.
Correct. But yeah, I know multiple people who watched F1 Drive to Survive, and now they're F1 fans. And not like casual fans, like they're fans of this sport. It's a system that works. Golf is now about to get into this, and I like this plan. Golf is probably the sport, I would have to guess, of the major sports, which I consider it one. Golf is probably the sport that has the most difficult time getting new viewers, right? Like, unless you grow up a one percenter like me, I've just decided I'm going to embrace my inner MJF. Unless you were just a one percenter like me growing up, who lived on a golf course and played all the time, most people don't just take up golf. And if you do, it's a hard damn sport to learn. So the majority of people who take up golf find out the sport's hard and I suck at it, so I'm not interested anymore. We as people very rarely, especially at older ages, tend to stick with something that we're not good at off the bat, right? So golf's probably got the hardest time to grow the sport. So they are leaning into what F1 is doing here. For the first time ever, the PGA Tour and the governing bodies that conduct men's major championships, Augusta National, the PGA of America, the USGA, and the Royal and Ancient Golf Society, or Association, whatever they call, society's better, will provide entry into the sport's biggest events, including the Players' Championship and season-ending FedEx Cup, as well as the four majors, the Masters, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and the Open. They are going to give Netflix unprecedented access inside the ropes and behind the scenes. They are doing a series that is going to allow cameras into the locker room, into the backstage, to do interviews with players, etc., to, quote, capture the intensity of training, travel, victory, and defeat through the lens of a diverse group of players and their support teams, which is great, but you need names, right?
Intense training for golf.
Oh, hell yeah.
Look, the golfer and the caddy are having an intense training session discussing which club to use.
I mean, here's the deal.
I would say I hate being that guy, but let's face it, I am that guy when it comes to certain things. I get the NASCAR thing, the behind the thing, or the Formula One racing thing. That would be interesting because there are so many moving parts and all that kind of thing. But how much could there actually be with golf?
I mean, a lot.
Yeah, I just...
Say this.
I find it hard to believe. I hate being a skeptic.
When you swing a golf club, right? And I'm going to come back to what I'm saying and set the show. When you swing a golf club, every single joint on your body impacts your swing. Your fingers, your wrist, your elbow, your shoulder, every joint in your spine, your hips, both knees, both ankles, your toes, your neck, your head, every joint in your body impacts the swing. I did a drill the other day, as a matter of fact. I was taught a new drill. One of the problems that I have when I swing a golf club is that my wrist opens up too much on the and that causes a slice off to the right. I slice the ball a lot. So a guy gave me a drill the other day, which I found was interesting, to train my wrist to stay closed through contact, which is to take your cell phone and hold it in your fingers, right? I know I'm boring Lonzo, but I'm trying to make a point here.
No, that's all you need is another reason to drop your cell phone. That's why I'm laughing.
So you curl your fingers up like the monkey paw, and you hold your cell phone to where the top and the back of the cell phone is against your forearm, and then you swing the golf club. And what's happened is in the past, as I came through, Lonzo, and my wrist opened up, see, the phone doesn't touch my forearm anymore. The best golf swing keeps that wrist closed, so the phone will never leave contact with a forearm all the way through the swing. This is the smallest little thing, right? But the difference from here to here on the PGA Tour could mean millions and millions of dollars. It could mean keeping your card. It could mean being eligible to be on the tour next season. It could mean a guy's job. This to this could cost the guy's job. That's intense to me, right? The fact that if one joint on your body moves wrong at one particular time, you could drop 10 spots on the leaderboard and lose your job.
By the things that you've just said, you use every bone and muscle in your body to play croquet, too. But, you know, I just don't want to see a behind-the-scenes thing.
And that's fine. Okay. That's fine. Show me a course where there are some of the best athletes in the world playing for tens of millions of dollars in their livelihood playing this sport. But again, I also acknowledge that I grew up playing golf. I grew up on a golf course. I grew up around golf. My dad played. My grandpa played. All my friends play. I acknowledge that I have a passion for the sport that a lot of people don't because they didn't play it growing up.
But see, I'm the guy that they need to try to get to watch this.
And I agree.
Because I am the uber skeptic when it comes to this, thinking that, okay, how interesting could this be if I'm not really interested? And I played golf before. I'm just not into it the way you guys are. And maybe it's just because I haven't played it enough, but still, I find it, I mean, how hard can it be and how,
can we find out?
I'm not talking about the golf playing. I'm talking about all this science that you're saying that goes into it. Aren't there just natural athletes that just go out and do it and they don't
not
need
golf.
To worry about all that kind of
not
stuff?
Not golf. I have taken. There are natural athletes.
So you're saying the fat guys out there who are golfing, who there are many, they're doing all the science stuff too, or are they just eating a cheeseburger and go out and hitting the course?
You don't just be good at golf, right? Like there are runners who are just fast runners, but even the fastest runners in the world have to get down to launch angle, velocity angle, force vector coming out of the blocks, etc. If they want to compete at an Olympic level, right? Would you watch a show, for instance, about who's the greatest sprinter of all time? Usain Bolt? Jesse Owens? Would you watch a show?
It's an era thing. It depends on what you
depends
consider.
On the era. But let's say Usain Bolt for the sake of an easy conversation. Would you watch a show about Usain Bolt going from really fast Jamaican guy to a guy who got down to the nitty-gritty to study the science behind sprinting to become the world's greatest sprinter?
I don't want to derail the segment or anything. I don't understand how that could keep my interest showing me how Usain Bolt
because it's
trimmed
not,
a tenth of a second off
it's,
of
it's
his
like
time.
The F1 thing because it's not just about what goes into being a good golfer. But it's the human side of all of this too, right? Like it's the people behind it. One of the best couple of scenes from the F1 series came in season two. I've been kind of like dabbling in it. Comes in season two where there is a guy who gets fired from the Red Bull Racing team. And there's two or three guys that are trying to compete to get into that seat in that race car to make it their race car so they can go win races. And all of them are doing the best they can to study and learn the tracks they're racing on and become the best racers they can. But the interesting side of it comes from the human side of the story of three guys who are looking at it and going, if I don't get this right, I'm probably done with this career and I got to go back to running a desk, right? there's a lot of interest in the human side of it. So let me finish up the description of the show and see if there's a chance I can get you into it. As of right now, these are the names of the golfers who are signed up to participate in this show for Netflix. Abraham Answer, Daniel Berger, Cameron Champ, Joel Dahmen, Tony Finau, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood. That's your dude, Zoe. That's your guy.
That is my guy.
Ricky Fowler, Sojier Garcia, Harry Higgs, Max Homa, Victor Hovland, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, Kevin Na, Mito Pereira, Ian Poulter, Xander Schauffele, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Bubba Watson, and the world's number one ranked amateur golfer, Kajita Nakajima, out of Japan, who will participate as he plays in the first major championship of his career. That is a wide demographic, of golfers, right? You got foreign guys, you got Americans, you got young guys, you got old guys, you got guys with good hair like Lonzo, you got guys with no hair at all, you got country boys like Bubba Watson out of Baghdad, Florida, you got European Romeos that are known for being good-looking fellas with the ladies. I mean, you got every kind of guy to follow along with here, and you got Keita Nakajima, who is trying to knock down the door and take it to the professional level to make money. PGA has just copied what F1 did, which copied what Hard Knocks was and is, and it's absolutely great. This is what sports needs to be. We all love football. We all love watching football. But man, do you not get interested when you get to learn more about the players and like what goes into the day-to-day life of being a great player? I do. The Last Dance, last year during the Rona, became one of the most talked about sports entertainment phenomenons of all time.
See, here's the thing. If it's something you care about sports-wise, and you talk about The Last Dance, I started watching the NBA when Michael Jordan started winning championships. That's when I got into the NBA. So I cared about that. Hard Knocks, love football, so I'm going to do that. How do they capture someone like myself, someone who's not really into the sport that they're trying to show, to get them to watch it? I mean, does it have to be a really creative trailer? I mean, how do you do that? Or is this just for the fans of the sport?
I don't think it is, right? I don't think F1 Drive to Survive was for F1 fans. If there is one thing that people love, Lonzo, it's drama, right? Everybody in the world says, I hate drama. I hate drama. Except for the most successful everything of all time, movie, music, TV, sports. The best is all about the drama, right? I hate drama. Really? Do you hate the drama of the national championship game on Monday? Oh, it's just competition. Right. Competition is bred through drama. We love drama, and we love drama whether it's on a personal level. What's the old three tropes? There's three dramas, right? There's man versus man versus nature, and man versus environment, and man versus self, right? Those are the three kinds of drama. With these shows, I think you're getting a little bit of everything.
I try to pattern myself after the great American philosopher Booker T, who said, save the drama for your mama.
Right. I get it. Five time. I respect it. Except for none of us do that. We love drama. Lonzo, you like your anime, don't you? What would anime be without drama?
Lonzo, you're a nothing. Nerd, right?
Well, so am I. If there's one person that should not be offended by saying that, it's me.
It's all about your tone. You're trying to be dramatic right now, Rob.
You like anime, right?
Stop it.
We all like our stuff, man.
We do.
We all like our drama. You can say you don't, but you're a liar. We all like our drama, and whatever you like it because of the drama. Man versus man versus environment, man versus self. With these shows, you get all three. You get the competition of the sport itself, man versus man. You get the guys trying to make it in a world that is cutthroat as hell. World of professional sports.
I think maybe part of my problem with it is, whether it's true or not, golf has always been a rich man's sport, at least perception-wise. And to me, it's like, why do I want to watch, a bunch of preppies talking about what ball to use, what.
But I don't think that's what they're going to focus on, right? Like, that would be like if the F1 show did a whole episode on what tires should we use. Yeah, that's not going to do anything for you. So they didn't do that, right? I don't think you're going to get a whole segment of Ann Poulter going, Pro V1 or Max Flight 3, I don't really know. I think you're going to get more along the lines of Ann Poulter standing on 3 and describing whether or not he's going to try to fly that lake or lay up short, knowing that flying it and setting himself up for a birdie might win him $2 million, but coming up short on it might cost him missing the cut. I think it might be teams trying to figure out how do we, especially if they start branching this off into the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup. And if we're going to get to go behind the scenes at the Masters, that's one of the best sporting events on the American calendar.
Yeah, I seriously doubt they'll do that. There's some things there that we'll never see. If there is golfer on caddy hate and
I bet you there will be
almost nearly, you know, knockdown, drag out fight between the two, that might get me because, you know, violence.
Man, if they ain't fighting, I ain't watching.
What do I know? I'm an anime fan.
Texter says, now, didn't I tell you I smelled the country club and the silver from that blanking spoon he was born with up his butt? I told you the mantis gifted me with clairaudience? You mean clairvoyance?
Yeah, autocorrect. I mean, it was going so good, too.
Didn't I tell you I smelled the country club and the silver from that blanking spoon he was born with? Yes, I played golf as a kid. Unbelievable. Texter says, Rob, don't forget the fourth drama, Man versus Food.
I wanted to do that, but I just waited.
And they're bringing that show back, Man versus Food. They got a new host. Yeah, I saw a trailer of it.
The dude they did have rarely won. So,
yeah.
I mean, you want them. Have you ever
won the battle, lost it life because his arteries were going,
have you ever ate at a place that had something like that?
Yeah.
Did you?
My number's on a couple of walls. My face
really?
Is on a couple of walls.
Really?
Yeah.
So you actually did it?
Yeah, this was back. So there was a wing joint back in Fort Walton. Buffalo Reef was what it was called. And they had a 50-wing challenge. 50-wing. The last 5 wings were the nuclear hot, right? So the first 45, you could have whatever flavor you wanted. The last 5 were nuclear hot, and you had to strip them to the bone to win, and I won that challenge 3 times. Miserable, but I was also like 21 and in shape and burning 8,000 calories a day.
How much did you have to pay to,
finished it? If you didn't finish it, it was like $60. If you did finish it, it was like 20, but you got a t-shirt and your face on the wall. I finished it, I think, 3 times.
Beardless?
Oh, yeah, 21, yeah.
Okay.
But that's because I used to have what they call a jawline. Now it's just like a bit. Quick break. Back after this. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. This is ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't mean to be an alarmist here, Lonzo, but 3 more planes leaving contrails coming directly at the studio in a very tight formation.
If you look in the distance, you'll see one coming across.
Yep. There. Oh, there's your ex. There's your ex right there.
So,
and that's toward downtown, isn't it?
When we started this program an hour and a half ago, the skies were completely clear.
Now covered in clouds.
If that's what you want to call them.
Wispy white chemicals.
Or it's just chemicals.
Yeah, gently absolutely. Falling to the ground. We'll need the Supreme Investigatory Team to get right on
this. It's all right. Rob says they're just water vapor.
And exhaust fumes.
Uh-huh. They don't make the sky go from blue to that. But, you know.
And clouds aren't real either.
There were no clouds in the sky when it started.
Clouds definitely don't appear or disappear based on variances in temperature.
When it snows this weekend, you'll know why.
Contrails. Obviously.
You got to say it right. I mean, come on. Remember where you are.
I'm sorry, chemtrails.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely, yes. Anyway, transfer portal.
I was
going
to say, you do need to speak at some
transfer
point.
Transfer portal. I'm sorry. I was trying to breathe the frustration out.
We don't want an alarm to go off.
South Carolina, back in the transfer portal, have added a pair of players to the list, the growing list of incoming transfer portal players that they already have. Central Michigan safety Devonte Reed posted on his Twitter account he'll play his final season of eligibility at USC after spending 5 years at his former school. He redshirted his 2017 freshman season. He is using his sixth year after the COVID year to play at SC. He tweeted out, "Let's rock," on social media alongside a graphic of him in a Gamecocks uniform with the word "committed" at the bottom. Later in the afternoon, James Madison wide receiver Antoine Wells, also posted that he was joining the Gamecocks via social media. It is the second and third transfer commitments in the past 3 days for the Gamecocks. North Carolina State defensive end Terrell Dawkins announced on Saturday he would join the Gamecocks as well. Started multiple games for the Wolfpack after an injury hampered 3 years and has 3 seasons of eligibility remaining. That is now 5 transfers for the 2022 class after signing Oklahoma players Spencer Rattler and Austin Stogner to the roster earlier in the, or I should say later, or back in December. Reed entered the transfer portal on January 3rd. He chose USC over other offers that included Wisconsin, Mississippi State, Texas, Mizzou, and Louisville. Guy has started all 43 games across 4 seasons for the Chippewas, but didn't miss a couple of games last year due to COVID-19 concerns. 281 tackles, 7.5 for a loss, 1 sack, 3 picks, 11 passes defended, and a pair of fumble recoveries. This season, named second team All-MAC Conference after totaling 72 tackles, including 3.5 for a loss and a sack, 6 defended passes, 2 picks, 1 for a pick 6. And returned a fumble for a touchdown in his first college game against Kentucky. Also had 14 tackles and 11 solo, both career highs. Went on to record a career-best 96 tackles his freshman year. Reed is a 6'5", 195-pounder, a 3-star prospect coming out of Bellevue High. Could fit nicely in the void left by USC leading tackler and first-team All-SEC safety Jalen Foster after the former Burn star played his final season of eligibility. Ardre Roderick, the other veteran starting safety, announced that he would return for his final season. Wells, a 6'1", 208-pounder, entered the portal earlier this month and was quick to pick up offers from Auburn, Miami, North Carolina, Mississippi State, Vatech, and Louisville. Had a scheduled visit to UNC, but said on Twitter that he was canceling that trip and told Tar Heels 24/7 that he had planned to visit Auburn and Miami as well prior to announcing his commitment to South Carolina. I love this for the Gamecocks, Alonzo. I love this because they are not just getting decent players out of the portal, right? And again, we'll see what these guys do at an SEC level. It's one thing to be first or second team All-Mountain American Conference. Can that translate to success in the SEC? We'll find out. But what I love about this is these are guys going in the portal, and they're getting offers from Auburn, from Mississippi State, from North Carolina, I mean, from schools. Maybe not the Alabamas and Georgias of the world, but these are guys that have a year or two left of eligibility. They're getting offers from big schools like Auburn and Miami. And Shane Beamer's talking them into little old South Carolina, talking them to come play in the SEC East for a team that has been working on finding its way. This, to me, I'm not saying that these guys are going to come in and be what elevates South Carolina to, you know, from middle to upper middle tier in the Southeastern Conference. But what I am saying is if Beamer can tell these guys, we want you here, and they drop visits to Auburn and Miami and North Carolina and commit straight away to South Carolina, it shows me that these guys are hearing what Beamer says, liking what Beamer says, and believing what Beamer says. These are not nobodies. These are not guys who are getting offers to you know, Washington State. These guys are getting offers from top-tier schools, and turning them down to come to Columbia shows me that whatever Shane is doing in the recruiting prospects, prospects in the transfer portal, if he can do that same thing to the four stars coming out of high school and get them to start considering South Carolina alongside Auburn and Miami, that's a big, big step forward for South Carolina. I believe it.
It's pretty exciting, and I do. I was thinking the same thing when you were talking about, when, yeah, he did that in the MAC. Can he do it in the SEC? But then you talked about the tackles that he had against Kentucky. Now, you may say Kentucky is not, but Kentucky is getting better and better, and they are an SEC team with SEC size. So he knows that he can handle that level when he comes into play. And the other players, it's really – I am curious about something, though. As the transfer portal continues to grow, will there be and is there already a designated portal coach, a coach that all they do is watch the portal to see for available players?
Oh, I'd guarantee you. I guarantee you every head coach has designated somebody in the office. That's what they do, right? Like, there are things you and I do. Like, we have designated things that we do when we show up in the morning, right? You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. That's how we handle this. I guarantee you every head coach has somebody in the building whose job is to check the portal when they get to work in the morning, around lunchtime, right before they sign off, and scan it real quick before you go to bed, just to see what names and stats pop up.
And how quick of a decision do you have to make, and how quick do you have to jump on that when you see someone jump in the portal? How long do they stay there? I mean, before they're actually contacted by any number of coaches.
I mean, it's recruiting, right? Like, I think what a lot of people think is these guys go in the portal and then they just pick a school. I'm going to go in the portal. I think I'm going to go to Miami.
Are you allowed to have contact with a portal player right away when they go into the portal?
Once they're in the portal, you can talk to them. Unless you're in a recruiting dead period. I believe the rules are almost identical, if not identical, to the recruiting rules. There are dead periods and whatnot. But you recruit players out of the portal just like you recruit kids out of high school. So, yeah, I mean, if this guy goes in the portal and we're in an active recruiting period, you can place that phone call immediately. And recruiting out of the portal, you know, again, we've heard people like Dabo who have not been, not that Dabo's against it. He's worked the portal. They picked up an offensive tackle we told you about last week through the portal, right? But he's very much said, oh, we're going to use it strategically. We're going to use it to fill needs, not just grab guys because they're in there. And I understand that, and I'm good with that. But it's about filling needs. And the difference right now between South Carolina and Clemson is obviously South Carolina has a lot more needs. They don't have the depth that the Tigers do right now. So it makes sense that Shane Beamer is going to work the portal as hard as he can. And he is. Three transfers in 3 days, and all three of them were big contributors on the teams they are coming over from. That's what needs to happen. But it's not just about kids in the portal, we need that spot, get them. It's about saying the things that make a pick. These guys have scholarship offers to big-time schools, just like kids coming out of high school, right? We mentioned a few there, Auburn, Mississippi State, Miami. And again, these aren't Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, and Georgia. But they're one, maybe two rungs down the ladder. They're all in that same level of competition that South Carolina is either in or trying to get to. And South Carolina's pulling them out left and right. Pulling them out left and right. That's fantastic. That's what it shows me. And again, we need more time to make sure that it plays out the way we think it will. But what it shows me here is that Shane Beamer is making the connection with these kids. And I've told you, if you want to succeed in recruiting moving forward, whether it's kids coming out of high school or kids in the transfer portal, I think from this point forward, there are two things you have to do. Number one, you have to show them that the school can provide for them resources to make their lives better. It used to be that they were looked at as resources for the school. It now has to be the school is a resource for you. And number two is you've got to build relationships with these kids that is more than just I'm the coach, you're the player. It's more than just I'm going to teach you the X's and O's and you're going to go out there and do it. These kids have to like you. They view themselves as the resource. Why am I going to give my resource to you? It's a national game now. And you have to play it this way. Speaking of that, when we come back here in just a minute from right now, I have got some sound of Nick Saban minutes after losing the national championship game Monday doing exactly that. And you're going to hear what I'm talking about next on the Rob Brown Show at ESPN Upstate. Lonzo was right. The grid of chemtrails has formed. There's very clear. I think what it is, Lonzo, it's a big hashtag in the sky. They're just marking us. They're like, hashtag, yeah, that Greenville, getting that smoke. No,
hashtag snow is what that is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a grid now. It's very clearly a grid in the sky.
And there are some of those. That say,
is that why I'm sneezing all of a sudden? Is it the...
Yeah, I've been... Yeah.
My nose is acting up. Yeah. I'm sneezy. Is it the chemtrails?
My nose is hurting really bad right now.
Yeah?
It's not a joke. It's
How's
not
the
a
knee?
Lie.
Yeah. I can't be that then.
It's too far off. I mean, you can't. It's got to be a day to 2 days out from said event before it really starts acting.
Lonzo's most mad that he's got to go wash all the chemicals off his car later.
Yeah, it's not. It's yeah.
It's unbelievable. So I told you last segment, I'm very, very impressed with Shane Beamer and the transfer portal right now, and I'm impressed with Beamer and the transfer portal. Because the guys that he's getting, aren't just nobodies, right? Like, he's getting guys that contributed and guys that fill gaps, fill needs, whether it's a need they already had or players having left due to running out of eligibility or hitting the draft or whatever. And he's getting good guys. Whatever he's saying is working. And I told you that I think it's about building relationships, right? It's about building relationships. This clip is from Nick Saban. We're in the post-game press conference. This is after the national championship game on Monday. And Nick Saban is sitting with two of his players, Will Anderson and Bryce Young, the quarterback and the guy who basically runs the show on defense. They have done their answers. They have done their time. They are about to leave for Saban to get his time with the press. And when they are dismissed, Nick Saban does this.
Bryce and Will, thanks for your time. We'll let you head back to your locker room.
I'd like to say something. Can I say something?
Absolutely.
You know, these two guys that are sitting up here, they're not defined by one game. These guys played great for us all year. They're great competitors. They were great leaders on this team. And they contributed tremendously to the success of this team. And we would not be here without them. All right, and both of them take responsibility for the loss, but both of them contributed in a lot of ways, in a positive way, to giving us a chance to win and a chance to be here to have an opportunity to win. So I just want to thank them for that and let everybody know how proud I am of these two guys.
So that's how you do it, right? Tell me right now that... That's not the kind of leader you're looking for, right? Like, tell me right now why that's not a guy you would want to play for. If you're there and you're a second string guy, but he's got that much appreciation for his players, you stay, right? How many coaches did we hear this year that got in trouble for almost blaming their team for losses? It's happened many times. Texas Tech, Kyle Keller is their basketball coach, if I recall correctly. And I remember at one point, a couple of years back, Stephen F. Austin was playing Texas Tech, and after the game was over and they lost, he said, quote, "The millennials today, they don't even watch college basketball. A lot of our guys didn't even know who these cats were because they don't watch the game. They're on their phone and doing that kind of stuff. I hate to say it, but as much as you or I or anybody in here watches the games, they don't, or the NBA. They might watch the slam dunk contest in February on TNT, whatever, but that's about the extent of it." Now, which one of those two guys you want to play for? If you're a parent, which one of those two guys do you want your kids to play for? This is what I mean. I've always heard the expression, your coach is your coach is not your friend, right? I got news for you. Moving forward, coach has kind of got to be your friend too. Coach has got to build you up. Coach has got to put you on the podium. Coach has got to make you forefront. And from what I can tell, Beamer's doing a great job of that. Saban still does a good job of it. Go watch some of the, Saban did a segment with Eli Manning a few months ago where he basically showed Eli what he does for the players. And everybody went, why does Saban do this segment, right? It's so, it seems out of character for Nick Saban to do this segment. Why would he do it? The answer is very simple. Because he wants prospective players, prospective recruits to see that, to see what he did for Will Anderson and Bryce Young there, and to go, damn, Nick Saban's got my back. Nick Saban's got my back. And for it to feel genuine, because it is. That's how you do it, folks. That's what coaches are now. You can get all the romanticism about the tough, gritty coach that puts his players through two-a-day with no waters because he's toughing them up. That's all well and good. But the only thing that matters is, do the players want to play for that guy? And do you want to play for that guy, or do you want to play for Nick Saban, who just did what he did yesterday? I know that's an easy choice for me.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, Saban has a... I don't know. People, I think, just believe he's arrogant and mean and all these things. But a lot of the guys where you see what they do behind the scenes is because they want you to see it. They want you to say, see, this is who I am. You don't see that with him, which makes it seem a lot more genuine.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I've worked with Nick Saban directly before when I was down in Florida. I've said this many times. If you can't do anything to make Nick Saban's life better, he's got no time for you, right? If you can't do anything to help him succeed, he's got no time for you. It's happened both ways for me. I've told you the story. Met him once in an elevator, had no words for me even after I said hi. A day later, I was doing my show live from the SEC spring meetings. He walked right up. Hey, man, Nick Saban, nicest guy. Why? Because I had a radio show that was going to help him reach the parents and the prospective recruits of the Florida Panhandle, which at the time was a fertile recruiting ground. But for the players, bends over backwards. Quick break to wrap up the hour after this on the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate. So I just heard a story for the first time that Burt Reynolds, a.k.a. Turd Ferguson, one time was so mad at the National Enquirer that he loaded his private helicopter up with thousands of pounds of horse manure from his farm, flew over their building, and dumped it all on top of their Christmas tree as revenge for some of the lies they had printed about him in the magazine. As if Burt Reynolds wasn't, as if he wasn't enough of an American hero.
I want that to be real. It sounds like there would be a lawsuit.
He said it on the Dan Le Batard show, and now I have to go find the audio of that. Back after this for hour number three of the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.